Well, happy Mother's Day. Certainly, thank you, Miss Jackie, for working up the kids' choir for us. Yeah. Even had a little surprise worked in there, had my son up there singing for the first time. She trying to get me emotional before I get up and preach. Now listen, happy Mother's Day. Hopefully I'm not the first one to wish all the moms that. If I am, how dare you? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. But now listen, moms are some of the only people in the world who can lovingly hand out snacks, life advice, guilt trips, and they can do it all at the same time. They can do it often in the same sentence even, and yeah, we love them for it. We love them for it. Man, they got this uncanny ability to be soft and to be strong and to be fierce and to be comforting and also to be convicting all in the same breath. Moms have the ability to be funny and fierce and strong and comforting and convicting and convincing and all of those things, often with the same look. If you were gifted with that superpower, most of us can still remember something that our mom said that stuck with us. Maybe she said it through tears, or maybe it was through gritted teeth as she said, "How dare you?" But either way, those things shaped us. You know, it shaped us. And then buried near the end of Proverbs, we're going to find a woman who did exactly that, right? Her voice, it doesn't echo, though, through a kitchen or through the van ride home from school, but it echoes through the pages of Scripture. And her words weren't just remembered by her son, but rather they're divinely inspired and preserved for us in the very Word of God, right? Her name, well, we don't really know. Her son was King Lemuel, maybe Solomon, but her legacy, well, that was lasting. And so turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. And before all the women, like, here we go with this chick again, good for her. As a matter of fact, let me just real quick. I don't always knock it out of the park as a husband. My neighbor across the street from us, he played for a long time when he first moved in for the MLB. And so he was gone a lot. And so then for his wife, she would do all the yard work. She'd be outside mowing and weed eating and doing mulch and everything. And for the first few years that they lived here, this was so amazing to me. I would get my wife. I'd say, "Megan, come here, come here, come here." And we'd gather at the window. And I would say, "Look at this. She's mowing the grass." And she would say, "Well, good for her." Good for her. I still mow the grass. I still do all the weed eating. But before you get the good for hers, it's not what you think. Turn to Proverbs 31, and we'll start in verse 1. If you're able with me, would you just stand with me for the word, the initial reading of the Word of God? Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 1, it says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. She said, 'What, my son? And what the son of my womb? And what the son of my vows? Give not strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto them that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy." Father God, thank you for today. We thank you for our moms. We thank you for this time that we have to just briefly get into your word. Father, your word, it promises that your spirit will help us to rightly divide the truth. And so, God, we pray that this morning, that you would help us to understand the truth of your word and help us to apply it to our life so that we may leave here today changed and more like you. God, I pray for the one that might be here today that's still lost. I pray that you would work and move through your word in a way that only you can. Draw them unto you this morning, God. We'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So this final chapter in the book of Proverbs, it's unique, right? It's unique from the rest of the book of Proverbs. It's the only admonition that is recorded that's from a mother. And it's the only admonition that's addressed directly to a king. Interestingly enough, if you're familiar, Proverbs, it begins with the instruction of a father. And now it's going to end with the instruction of a mother. And so these bookends are enforcing for us a critical truth that the primary place of learning is in the home. Listen, parents, it is you, not school teachers, not preachers, not philosophers, and God forbid, not their professors, but you are the most important, influential wisdom teachers in the entire world. Listen, God has assigned several sacred responsibilities to parents. They are to lead their children to trust and fear in the Lord, to correct and to discipline them, to teach them the word of God, all which will result in skillful and successful living. We find this in Deuteronomy 6, perhaps the most important passage to any Jew in the history of the world. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, it said, "Hear, O Israel," this is called the Shema, which is Hebrew for the word listen. And thus it begins with listen, or hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord our God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And he says, these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart. And then he says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and you shall talk with them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and you shall bind them as a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house and upon the gates. It was Charles Spurgeon who said, oh, fathers and mothers, the ruin of your children or their salvation will, under God, very much depend on you. And it's for this very reason that a godly mother speaks with wisdom. That's number one, if you're following along in our sermon notes this morning. A godly mother, she speaks with wisdom, but she speaks with a purpose. Proverbs 31, verse 1. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So Lemuel, he attributes this to divine authority. He attributes divine authority to his mother's teachings, right? So in other words, moms, this is not idle chit-chat. This is prophetic. This is intentional instruction. This is a prophecy, an oracle, a messa, as it were, in the original language. This is a message from the Lord that has been divinely preserved in the wisdom teachings and inspired by God. Listen to me, moms don't just fill space with words. They fill souls with truth. And the Lord, he spoke to Lemuel through his mother. And think just about the power that's in that sentence, right? That the Lord spoke to Lemuel through his mother. The mightiest influences in the world are mothers. Indeed, it is true that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. It was President George Washington who said, all that I am, I owe all to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education that I received from her. It was President Abraham Lincoln who said, all that I am and ever hope to be, I owe unto my angel mother. It was President Andrew Jackson who said, the memory of my mother and her teachings were, after all, the only capital that I had to start life with, and on that capital, I have made my way. It was the British Prime Minister Winston Churchill who said that you have omitted mention of the greatest of my teachers, my mother. And an ancient Eastern king named Lemuel, he may be added to this list, right? He left behind a record of his mother's instructions to him. And it's been preserved for us by the Holy Spirit as part of the inspired teachings of the Word of God. Listen to me. Many have been influenced by the teachings or influenced by their mothers or by the teachings of their mothers, especially in a spiritual or religious matters. According to a recent Barna report, about 6 in 10 practicing Christians in the U.S. today said that they came to faith because of the influence of a believer within their household where they grew up. Right, of those 68%, say that a mother's influence is what influenced them the most. Right, their mother's influence. Lemuel's mother, accordingly and anxiously, she instilled the greatest lessons of life into his heart while it was still tender. And listen to me, this is not passive parenting. I know that may be all the rage today, but you need to get it out of your vocabulary. She did not passively parent. Proverbs 29, verse 15, it says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left unto himself will bring his mother shame." Right, we know nothing more about King Lemuel beyond what's revealed to us in this chapter. Israel had no king by this name. There's no record of him in secular history at all. The teachings of this chapter and the mention of the fear of the Lord, it seems to suggest at least that some in his family were Jewish proselytes. Right, and some scholars, they actually believe that Lemuel was really King Solomon. Right, Lemuel means devoted or belonging to God. And so one time when visiting the palace, Nathan the prophet, he called baby Solomon Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. And you find that in 2 Samuel. Right, but many think that Lemuel was Bathsheba's name of endearment or her pet name for her son, for her cherished son, Solomon. And so on the other hand, just a slightly different punctuation than what's rendered in the King James would change it to King Lemuel of Massa, which is a location in northern Arabia. So the reality is, I know that's a mouthful and a mindful, but the reality is we don't know who King Lemuel's mother was. Right? We may have a suggestion or an inkling, but we really don't know who she was. But we do know that she was faithful in teaching her son God's principles for successful living. That's because mothers hold their children's hearts more tightly in their hands than any other individual in their life. Right? They have this unparalleled opportunity to mold and to shape their character, and godly mothers take full advantage of that opportunity. That's why they speak with a purpose. Right, they plant God's truth into the fertile soil of their children's hearts. And as a result, most children with godly mothers are grateful and they praise them all the days of their life. Lemuel was a powerful man. Consider he could have spoken about many different people or many different things, but foremost in his affections seemed to be the wisdom that he gained from his mother. Proverbs 1, verse 8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Listen to me. Lemuel's mother didn't just speak to get things off her chest, right? But she spoke truth into his heart. And that's how a lasting legacy is formed, right? That's how a legacy is formed. It's not by nagging, right? But it's by nurturing truth. And that's what sticks in the heart. But some of the most life-changing words that have ever been spoken, they're not just inspirational, but can I tell you they're confrontational? Right, they're confrontational. The kind of legacy that's going to last, it's not just built on encouragement. It's also built on warnings, right? Truth that confronts and truth that corrects. Because listen to me, what you don't warn your children about today could destroy them tomorrow. That's why number two, we find that a godly mother, she warns with conviction. Look at verse number two. She said, "What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto woman, nor thy ways unto that which destroyeth kings." Some commentators, they actually believe that Lemuel was grown. He was grown. And so this was his mother speaking to him. These verses are a plea for him to change his behavior, as it were. Right? And so whether these words are cautionary or they're corrective, it's not really specified, right? But his mother's earnestness in this is crystal clear. Three times she appeals to him as her son. And each time it's with increasing intensity. She says, "My son." Then she says, the son of my womb. And then she refers to him as the son of my vows, right? And it suggests that she may have even devoted him back to the Lord as Hannah did Samuel. And she warns him. She warns him against moral drift, right? And misplaced passion, right? The first fundamental of good leadership is moral purity, right? Immorality, it carries a hefty price tag, both physically and spiritually, right? Note the word there, destroyeth, there in verse 3, right? In the original language, it meant to rub out or to erase. In fact, it's the very same word that's used when speaking about God's judgment in the flood. Right, and so with regards to sexual immorality, Proverbs 2, verse 18, it says that her house, it inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of thy paths of the life. Proverbs 5, verse 1, it said, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear unto my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and the mouth of her is smoother than oil, and her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take a hold of hell, lest thou should ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou cannot know them. Verse 7, it said, hear me now, therefore, O children, right, and depart not from my words of my mouth, but remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh unto her house, lest thou give honor unto others. In thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy blood are consumed. Listen to me. Godly moms call out dangers that their kids might not yet see. Right? One of the major teachings in the book of Proverbs is that parents must instruct their children in righteousness, and they must correct them when they stray then from God's commandments. Proverbs 3:12, it says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Right? Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him in bad times. Listen to me, legacy's not built by accident, right? It's built by saying the hard things, in love and pointing out dangers to your children that they might not yet see. Lemuel's mother, she saw these dangers clearly and she didn't stay silent. You want to know why? Because she knew that silent today can mean regrets tomorrow, right? So she spoke, and then that became part of her lasting legacy. Listen to me, mom's job, it doesn't end at pointing out the dangers, though. It's not enough just to point out the dangers. It continues by pointing towards the better way, the wise way. Lemuel's mother, she didn't just say, don't do that, but she also said, here is the way that's worth your life. Right? She knew you can't afford to live carelessly, and she knew you can't afford to parent passively. You only have a short time of influence in their life. Right. And so what she gives isn't just advice, it's guidance that's rooted in wisdom that should shape a leader's future. And so notice with me, number three, a godly mother guides with wisdom. She guides with wisdom. Look at verse 4, Proverbs 31, verse 4, it's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. But give strong drink unto them that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let them drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open the mouth of the dumb in the cause of all such as appointed to destruction. And so she addresses power and self-control and justice and compassion, especially with regards to leadership. Listen to me, moms don't just raise kids, but they raise future leaders. Right? Even if your child never grows up to wear a crown, your wisdom can still shape their influence. Right, mothers are called by God to teach their children about the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 78, verse 6, it says that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. right? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but rather keep his commandments. And the Bible is filled with examples of the importance of generations teaching generations on the ways and laws of God. Listen to me, moms, grandmas, ladies, right? What kind of influence, what kind of legacy are you leaving in the lives of your children or of your grandchildren or in your nieces or your nephews or in your Sunday school class? What kind of legacy are you leading in the lives of your Sunday school? What kind of legacy are you leaving for the next generation? Listen to me, your influence is greater and broader than you realize. Consider Moses' mother, Jochebed. Right, who was bold and she was courageous enough to take a risk that Moses could live. And Moses eventually becomes one of Israel's greatest and most important and most faithful leaders. Consider Deborah in the book of Judges. She helped lead the entire nation of Israel to victory. Consider Naomi, who helped Ruth to find the one true God where she would become part of a godly heritage and the kingly line of David and of the very Jesus Christ himself. Consider Hannah, who begged and pleaded with God to give her a child, and she promises rather to give him right back to God. She kept her promise, and that child, Samuel, would end up leading in some of Israel's finest moments. I consider Mary, the mother of Jesus, the great faith that she had to bear this child as a young woman who was still a virgin. And her son, Jesus, wasn't only just the Son of God, but he's the Savior of the entire world. Listen to me, your influence, it reaches further than you think. These women are examples of wisdom in action. They're not just trying to raise good kids, right? They're guiding future leaders, and that's what godly moms do. Listen to me, they raise children as if the world depends on it, because in many ways, it does. Right? The kind of influence, it doesn't fade, but that's a lasting legacy, mom. Lemuel's mother didn't leave behind a statue. She left behind scripture, and her legacy is not carved in stone, but it was etched into the soul of her son, and it still speaks to us today. And so I challenge you, Mom, what about you? Right? I challenge you even, Dad, what about you? What kind of legacy are you leaving? What kind of legacy are you building? Notice with me number four, the fruit of a godly mother's influence. It would be nice if everybody thought about their mom the same way that the Bible depicts their importance. Wouldn't it, Mom? If everybody within your sphere of influence treated you as important as the Bible states that you are. I mean, wouldn't that be nice? Maybe you've heard this before. To a four-year-old, mommy can do anything. I can attest to that. Right? To an 8-year-old, moms know a lot. To a 12-year-old, mom doesn't know much of anything. To a 16-year-old, it's not worth asking mom because she doesn't know. To an 18-year-old, mom is way out of date. Right? To a 25-year-old, mom might know a thing or two. To a 35-year-old, it's probably best to consult mom on this issue. To a 50-year-old, they wish they could consult mom. And to a 75-year-old, they often wonder, what would mom have said about this? And I don't know the source of this, right? But the reality is that children grow in stages of how they feel about their moms. Children, listen to me. Never ever, young person, never ever be ashamed of your mom. She is definitely worth consulting at every stage of your life. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 1:5. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, speaking of his young preacher boy Timothy, he said, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. And Paul's saying that he can't help but to be reminded of Timothy's mother and his grandmother's faith when he thinks of the very faith that Timothy has, right? They were inseparable. That's because godly mothers don't just raise children, they plant truth. Yeah. All right, they plant truth, and that truth, it bears fruit. And that fruit, long after, it bears long after they're gone. Right? Just like Timothy's mother and grandmother, they pass it on to him. Your influence, it can outlive you. The influence that you have today very well can outlive you. You might not always see the results right away, but the seeds that you plant can echo far into an eternity. Do you want to know what's outstanding about all the women in the Bible who made an impact? Each of their stories are different. Right? Every one of them are different. So that means that there's no perfect candidate for being a great mom or a great woman. Right? In other words, you don't got to have it all figured out. You're never going to have it all figured out. Right? You don't have to be a stay-at-home mom. You don't got to be a working mom. You don't got to be a married mom or a widowed mom or a divorced mom or even a mom at all for God to use you. Right? God can do anything with anyone who is fully consecrated and surrendered to Him. And so how are you allowing God to use your situation today? Listen to me, women. You are not empowered by social or societal dictates. Women are not empowered by the home. They're not empowered by the workplace. Girls and teens, listen to me. You're not empowered by the clothes that you wear or have or don't have or the people that you hang out with. Girls, ladies, women, men alike. All people are empowered by their intrinsic God-given worth. You're empowered because who made you? You are valuable because of your creator. And listen to me, God has a plan of influence for each person, for each individual. And so what's your plan of influence today? Are you fulfilling that plan? Right? Have you gotten distracted from that plan? Or are you still seeking His plan? See, we don't know this woman's name, right? We do know her voice, and we do know her heart, and we do see that her wisdom, it didn't die with her. It lived on. It lived on in her son, and now it lives on in the very word of God itself. And that's what a lasting legacy looks like. It's not fame. It's not fortune, but it's faithfulness. And listen to me, if you're a mom today, don't underestimate your words. Don't underestimate your warnings or your wisdom. Don't minimize your role, right? What you're building, it's more than a moment. Listen to me, it is a legacy, and that's exactly what the end of Proverbs 31 tells us. Proverbs 31, verse 28, it says that her children arise up, and they call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. And that's what faithfulness produces. It doesn't produce fame. It produces long-term fruit, right? It produces a lasting legacy. It was Charles Spurgeon who said, "Oh, dear mothers, you have a very sacred and trusted, sacred trust reposed in you by God. He has, in effect, said to you, 'Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' You are called to equip the future man of God that he may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. If God spares you, you may live to hear that pretty boy speak to thousands, and you will have the sweet reflection in your heart that the quiet teachings of the nursery led the man to love his God and serve him. Those who think that a woman detained at home by her little family is doing nothing think the reverse of what is actually true. Scarcely can a godly mother quit her home for a place of worship, but dream not that she is lost to the work of the church. Far from it, she is doing the best possible service for her Lord. Mothers, the godly training of your offspring is your first and most pressing duty." Amen. Listen to me, Spurgeon had it right. Motherhood is kingdom work. Yeah. I remember when my mom got saved. It wasn't our first visit to church. It was at this church, but we had been attending for a little while, faithfully. 6 or 7 years worth of a little while, right? And my brother, he had just repented of his sins. We all knew he had been a sinner for a long time. Took him longer to figure it out. He had just repented of his sins and placed his faith in Jesus Christ. Right, and I was a teenager at the time, and so I didn't fully grasp everything that was happening in my family. In fact, when I look back, because I wasn't saved, I was very angry at the things that were happening in my family. But looking back now, I can see just how courageous that moment was. Listen, she'd been faithfully attending and listening, and that day she stepped out, she said, "I need the Lord." Right? I know that I need the Lord. And so that decision, it was humble and honest and ended up being public, right? But it was a turning point. But it wasn't a turning point just in her life, right? It became a part of a spiritual legacy that was going to ripple down through the generations in our family. Voila. It's the fact I am here, right? It rippled down through the generations. This godly legacy, it doesn't begin when everything's in place. It begins when someone surrenders to the grace of God, right? And so I don't know, maybe today you're like my mom was, right? Maybe you've been around church. Maybe you've heard the truth. Maybe a lot of people think that you're already saved. But deep down, you know that you've never made it personal. Maybe deep down, you know you've never surrendered your life to the Lord. And listen to me, you don't need to be ashamed. But you do need to be honest. God's not looking for perfection. He's offering you his son. Right? He's offering you his son. So why not start a legacy today? Why not let today be the thing that changes everything? Right? Not just for you, but who knows, maybe for your children or your grandchildren or generations that you're never, ever going to meet, right? And that's what a lasting legacy is all about, right? It's not just about being remembered, but it's about being redeemed. Listen to me, if you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, today could be your day. In fact, I would say, why not today? Right? If you're here, that means God's given you today, but none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. But the Bible says that our life, it's like a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it just vanishes away. And so why not today? It's not about growing up in church. It's not even about knowing the right answers or checking the right boxes, but it's just about realizing that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, right? And Jesus is the only one that can save you. And so just like my mom, maybe you've been in church for a while, or you've even served, or you've been in the nursery serving. Right, but the truth is you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus and you know it. Listen to me, don't let pride hold you back. Right? Don't let pride hold you back. Don't wait for the right moment. The right moment is when the Holy Spirit is working and moving and stirring inside of your heart. And if that's now, why not today? Jesus, he died for your sins. He was buried and then he rose again as according to the scriptures on the third day. Right, and he's ready right now to forgive you, to cleanse you of your sins, and to make you his. Right, your legacy, it doesn't begin with what you do, but it begins with what you receive. Will you receive his gift of salvation today? Right, if you're here and you've never called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, in a moment we're going to enter into an invitation. I just want to challenge you. Just step out. Step out from the pew. Come forward. I'm going to come down with my Bible. I'll be down there. I'd love to show you how you can know today that you'd have a home in heaven. There'll be other folks down here. They'd love nothing more than to show you how you can know today how you can have a home in heaven, how to build a lasting legacy. And so if that's your desire, listen to me. Don't leave today without getting that right. Because this could be the very beginning of your lasting legacy. Would you stand with me, church? Would you stand with me as we enter into this moment? If I could have all heads bowed, if you're a Christian, if I could just ask you to please be praying. In a second, I'm going to pray, and when I pray, the altar will be open. And if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, why not today? Why not today? Step out from your pew, right? The altar is a place of acknowledgement, acknowledging that we are sinful, needy, hurting people, and he is a holy and mighty God. And so if you need to call upon the name of the Lord, why not today? Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you for moms, for grandmas, the power of their influence, the way they shape and they mold our lives. God, we thank you for your son. Thank you for the sacrifice, his death on the cross for our sins. God, I pray for the one that might be here today that's still on the fence. God, maybe they're undecided or they know, but their pride has held them back. God, I pray that you would work and move in their spirit. God, draw them unto you. Lead them into repentance, God. work and move through this invitation in a way that only you can, Lord. We'll give you all the glory and all the honor. And I pray this in your name.